I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen. Did you almost forget where you was at?
Nah, I do so much premium stuff.
Okay.
I honestly was about to be like the premium network, and I was like, "What premium show is this?"
Yeah.
What am I doing today? Oh, it's a recap of The Walking Dead.
Yes, you have been working hard the past week or two.
Okay, I do my thing over here. I try to do my thing.
Yeah, they all start to blend together, I understand.
Yeah, so I actually been trying to chill during the day, the last few days, to give myself some time off. But you guys know how it is. At any rate, this is a Walking Dead Wednesday, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Every day, everybody's favorite, well, you know, the six of us who watch The Walking Dead still, our favorite.
Yeah, it is.
Episode of the week. Everybody else can get the day off. They just want to hear about the coronavirus and all the terrible things happening in the world and the news. Like, nah, now we get a day where we just want to talk about this stupid ass show that we love.
Come on.
Okay. But yeah, so it's Walking Dead recap time. This episode is episode 13 of season 10. It's called What We Become. It's the exit of Danai Gurira from the show.
Mm-hmm. So this was a final episode.
Yes. Before we get into it though, Karen, I gotta ask you in general, what'd you think about this episode?
Oh, this episode was excellent. I loved it. It's one of my favorite episodes in a long time. Mm-hmm. Because I think that they gave Michonne justice. Mm-hmm. I really think that they did it right. Normally they do it big, if you know, like, because before in earlier seasons where people died and you were like heavy in the cast, you would have had like a big death scene, and she didn't have a death scene, but they actually did a really good job of dedicating this episode to her. They took us down memory lane. Yeah. I had a ball.
For me personally, when I saw it the first time we watched it on Sunday, I didn't really like it that much. I actually was like, this is kind of whack. This felt kind of like redundant and Scott Gimple-ish and certain things I just didn't like about, you know, some of the more liberties they took and all that stuff. But then what was funny is we watched Talking Dead or some of it, and then I rewatched it today expecting to kind of be like, yeah, I didn't really like it, but let me rewatch it. But I loved it so much more the second time around, because I feel like I got what they were trying to do. Cause it was really more like, it was really more about saying goodbye to Danai Gurira, who's done so much for this show.
Right.
Who's so iconic and needed a deserved, like, send off. She needed, like, her own celebratory episode, and the things that it sets up for the future was so much more optimistic and hopeful, and that's something we don't always get on this show.
Mm-mm.
And so the second when I rewatched it, I was like, this is actually amazing, and getting to see her, you know, as an actress go through all this. But let's get into the recap, guys. I also meant to mention one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other reason I think I couldn't really enjoy it the first time is because I didn't know what the fuck was gonna happen to her. So once we seen the end, I was able to, I can watch it now. Now watching it, I'm not nearly as like nerve-wracked and all that shit as I was the first time. The first time I was just like, well, we know this is her last episode. What are they gonna do? What does this mean? You know, they gonna put her in a refrigerator? She gonna get trapped in a well? Like, what the fuck does this mean? You know, so. All right, let's get into the breakdown. Now this whole thing happens in one place.
Mm-hmm.
There are flashback sequences kind of, but it fits into the story so neatly. I just went ahead and put it all in one location.
Yeah, and you might as well just tell the story how it happens.
And I'm starting to feel like Angela Kang has done such a good fucking job. The last few episodes, you notice on our recaps, it hasn't been like, okay, well, let's do the woods. Okay, let's do Alexandra. It seemed like everything is streamlining more and more because, yes. Things are starting to happen in one place and that's it. You know, it's, what happened in Hilltop, and essentially it all blended in with the Whisperer storyline so that I didn't have to go to different locations. Yeah, I like that.
And it's smart. And I think that, you know, I'm pretty sure she follows and she tracks shit, and it was probably confusing to a lot of people once you have all these different locations, you're trying to blend them all into one episode versus this is some shit they probably should have already been doing. Here's the episode for this one. Here's the episode for this one. Yes, we can show you how they tie, but we don't have to bounce around to every episode every few seconds, every few minutes, like we tell in a soap opera.
Right. So, let's get into the recap. So we get to the island, y'all. We made it.
Oh, you making it smaller?
Y'all making it smaller because okay. It's not coming up for a second. I'll try to make it bigger when we play it. But yeah, we get a flashback at the start of this of Michonne, and it's old school Michonne. I'm talking about the brown, like hoodie thing she had.
She walked with the zombies with the chains.
Yeah, the two zombies that like are I can't. It's like one of them was like her. Her man, and one was like her brother.
Yeah.
And so she's walking, so this is an old school, like, mm-hmm. first met Michonne thing. And she's walking through the woods with that sword, killing zombies. She picks up some stray bullets that someone left on the ground. And then she looks up and we hear somebody running, fighting for their life in the woods. And it flashes over there and it's a blonde haired woman. And it was so shocking and real. I honestly thought I missaw what I saw. I was like, is that Andrea? And I was like, no, that can't be Andrea because Andrea's dead. And, you know, I'm like, oh, wait, is this the original flashback where Michonne saved Andrea? Except, y'all, in this version or whatever, Andrea gets killed by those fucking zombies in the woods, and Michonne just keeps it moving like, you know, you can't, no white people at the cookout.
I say zero white women today.
Yeah, like, you are cold, okay? Like, she was like, I don't know if y'all heard.
She was like, feminism's a mess.
I'm a womanist, okay? Not a feminist. And so that right there set the tone, because it was like, because then as soon as she turned to walk off and let Andrea get eat, it was... And I'm like, for a cold open, I'm like, what fucking show is this?
I was like, oh, she died. I was like, what is happening here?
Like, that's not what happened at all. She definitely saved Andrea.
That's what I'm saying.
I remember because at the time, you know, we hated Andrea and was like, why did you save her? You know,
right.
Like, that was a whole fucking thing. So she saves Andrea. And then, we cut back to the real world where they're hopping off of the boat. They're at the island, Virgil and Michonne. And Virgil is the most, like, taking the long scenic route ass nigga ever.
He was like, we gonna stop at all the stoplights, all the street signs. We gonna go the most scenic of the scenic routes.
He was like, listen, it said do 35 in the 30. I'm doing 35 miles per hour. That's what it say on the sign.
I'm not going a mile over the speed limit.
Right.
Damn.
Go around.
Don't rush me.
Go around.
Blow your horn. I'm not speeding up.
I'm driving. And if you got something to say, I will pull this car. I will turn this car around, mister. So he's like, follow me to the inlands, that's where my family is. And she was like, nigga, fuck your family, what are the fucking munitions? I want to blow shit up. I told you we got to kill these whisperers. And then he's just like, man, these whispers really get in your head, huh? She's like, yes, remember you got your leg cut, the whole thing was you want to get back to your family. I only let you go and use our boat because we want the motherfucking munitions. Like, why are you trying to act like this, like you new to this deal?
Right. And it was one of those things too where he turned around and started talking to her. She put that knife to his chest like, try me.
Well, not it. Yet, not yet.
Okay.
So then Virgil stops to pick some flowers and herbs from a garden that his wife, I guess is his wife's garden. He's like, yeah, you know, my wife would kill me if I showed up empty handed. She's like, I'm gonna kill you if you don't take me to where the fucking weapons are. What is taking so long? And he's like, Michonne's like, what about this building over here? Is that where the weapon's at? He's like, no, that's an old laboratory. There's nothing in there at all.
It was built in 1972.
Right.
By the indigenous servants.
Right. He's like, and, you know, don't go in there because stray animals get in there. And sometimes, you know, it's no lights in there at night. So just whatever you do, definitely don't worry about that building.
And they build it brick by brick. If you want me to, I can show you where they actually made the ingredients for the bricks. I don't want to see this.
Right. This welcome to my tour of the island.
Come on.
They make it to a clearing and it's like a play area that's set up over there. Maybe like people will hang outside and sit by a fire or something, except as he's talking, like, you know, this is where, I forget his kid's name, but you know, like, this is where Malcolm used to play outside all day. And she was, and Michonne mentions, like, you know, my kids are having a field day out here. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, my child, he'd be up in the, looking in those granary silos trying to find some bird treasure. You know, he's just so stubborn, just like his mama, Janice, or whatever. And so, about this time, Michonne notices that the place actually doesn't look very lived in. So it doesn't like anyone's like been out here, you know, mm-hmm. clothes are hanging on the lines, they're dry as fuck. Like it just, so she was just like, what the fuck? And he turns around and that's when she pulled her sword out and put it to his chest and was like, hey nigga, stop playing with me. She's like, cut the bullshit. Where the hell is your family? And so then, I believe this is when we go and see his, find out where his family is. Yeah. Okay. So, this is where we go find out where his family is, y'all. And this was like, he was getting on my nerves.
Right.
I kind of understood where he was coming from at Oceanside. Cause the whole thing was like, I gotta get back to my family. She like, where your family at? They come back. They standing by three graves. And now this confused me the first time I watched it, but this is what happened. So there's three graves and he says, I always said I'd take some flowers to her every day, and he lays the flowers on the graves. And she and Michonne had this thing where she was looking like, I'm sorry your family is dead, but you've been talking like they was alive this whole time,
right?
So are you just a liar or are you just crazy? Which one is it? Because if he's sitting there talking about the you know, the flowers and over the three graves.
Oh, you crazy.
I am.
Yeah, he's crazy. And so he then gives us some story about how, you know, his family, is dead. And here's the rundown on that.
I promised I would help you check, and I will.
I'm gonna find it myself.
The island's not clear.
No, not clear.
This edited version took shit out, but she was cussing at him. She's like, no shit is not clear. Like she was over it. Yes,
she was like, I left my babies that came out here for this bullshit.
Right.
I could have just sent you on the boat by yourself, nigga.
Right.
It was until the others came. It brought violence. The sickness came with it. Killed my family. We never had a lot of rippers. So I never really got good. But what it is you do. You're good with a sword.
What are you asking me?
My family's still in there. My wife. My baby. That's why I asked you to come. Needed you to come.
Now, this is when I started to get real pissed off. Because when we left them the last time we saw them, his thing wasn't, please come with me. Like, he tried to flip this in some reverse psychology, like, that's why I need you to come and to help me out. And it's like, no, that's not what the fuck
you told happened. Her. Yes.
You wanted to steal their boat, and she said, the fuck, no, you can't just steal our boat. And then he was like, well, I got weapons on the island. And then she was like, okay, well, for the weapons, we'll let you use the boat to get back. It wasn't, and also I need you to come help me with something. Like, get the fuck out of here. You were gonna steal the boat. You didn't even want anyone to, what the fuck? So I started getting mad because I got real scammy vibes off of this nigga.
Right, and that's why them Oceanside niggas was gonna fuck you up. They was like, you don't belong here. Who you, where you come from?
Right, like, you know, they already, well, you know, Oceanside ain't no new. But I'm just saying, like, with him specifically, these lies is starting to feel like a lot, and he says the lie so matter of fact, like, remember? It's like, no, nigga.
Hey, girl. You don't remember. I just wanted to let you girls know that I'm a real messy bitch. I'm a messy bitch who lives for drama.
And of course, you know, Sean was approaching the whole situation with this type of energy.
Bitch, get out of my face! Yes!
So then we enter a building, and this, like, long story short, Michonne kills a whole bunch of walkers by her motherfucking self, because apparently the only thing Virgil didn't lie about was he don't know how to fight them zombies.
No, he don't. And so while she's being stealthy, he comes behind her and fucking rattles the bookshelf to death. I was like, the fuck is wrong with you?
Right, they try to sneak in, and he makes a whole lot of noise, causing all the zombies to come to them at once. She gives him like a board that she pushes all the zombies out the way with and says, get behind this shield, basically, and I'll kill the zombies. She kills all the zombies while he stands there, does nothing. I haven't seen a man this useless since Eugene, when we first met Eugene. Like, somebody need to call Rosita and let her be his Peloton personal trainer or something, because he need help.
He was useless, him and Gabe.
I mean, those are the two worst ones, and yeah. they were essentially the same motherfuckers, because he really just stood there cowering like, oh, Michonne, you get him yet? And I'm like, here we go, black woman doing all the work,
lifting all, doing all the heavy labor.
The black man sit up there, take all the credit, all ungrateful. So then they do have a sad scene here where they reach a room where some people are like, they're zombies, but they're also like in the room or whatever, but then, well, I don't know if there's zombies in the room, there's zombies hanging from the ceiling. Mm-hmm. Like, they
hanging from the ceiling
and they're still moving, which signifies they were hung, they were not, you know. And it's, so it's like, well, did they hang themselves? But it's like, wait, three people don't hang themselves at the same time.
Yeah, and it was a bunch of them in the room, and all the chairs were flung up underneath them. So it's like, well, did they hang themselves, right, or did somebody put them up there and just kick
the
chairs
from underneath? Yeah. It looked like a execution.
It did.
And so it's like, whatever happened in this room, his family wasn't just like turned into zombies. They were hung.
Mm-hmm.
And so then he has a moment where a tender moment where he puts the shoe that fell off of like the wife zombie's foot and puts it back on her foot. Then later we go back out there to that grave, and he thanks Michonne for her help. But keep in mind, Michonne, like, okay, I did your errand, where the fuck is the munitions? I don't care about this.
Mm-mm.
Like, she's like, don't thank me, just show me what I came for, and I'll go.
Right.
And then y'all, this month, it's getting late. Tide's low, not sure the boat will be able to make it through the channel. Might need to stay here tonight rather than risk it.
And she's like, I didn't plan no goddamn overnight trip. I didn't pack no bags.
She pulled out the black mama voice. I wish I had this clip, but I couldn't find it. But because probably only black people remember this part of the episode, because white people that keep the clips on YouTube probably don't know. But she says, Virgil. Like, she said that shit like she caught him opening up a peppermint in church during during silent prayer time.
Be like, are you chewing gum?
Right.
Doing church service?
She definitely gonna pinch his leg in the car or something.
Twist his ear.
She said, Virgil, I need you to hold up your end of the bargain. And then he's like, he stands up like, well, Michonne, I mean, it's late, it's dark, you know, the buildings get dark, it's scary in there. Just, you know, just, we'll do it first thing in the morning, I promise. She was like, first thing in the morning, okay? But in the middle of the night, she can't sleep. She tries to get on the walkie-talkie to Judith, but she can't raise Judith, so she goes out patrolling, goes into a lab, right into that building Virgil told her the wild animals get loosed in, so don't go in there.
Mm-hmm.
But she goes in there, she's looking around at some empty cages that maybe they kept animals in or something. But she eventually gets to a room where she hears voices coming from the wall.
Wow, yes.
And the walls, you know, like, you can't really make out the voices. And she goes like, hey, who's there?
Yeah, they was like, everybody was like, shh, I hear something. Like you kind of hear really, really low. They was like, is it him? I don't know.
Right.
Shh, be quiet.
And she's like, who's there? Y'all all right or whatever? And then
they don't respond.
As soon as she says something, they stop answering. She looks up towards the door. Virgil is standing at the door and slams the damn door on her, locks her in. On some Kathy Bates and misery shit.
Yeah, it was like, I told you.
Yeah, he says, why couldn't you just wait until the morning? I told you it wasn't safe. I trusted you, and you ruined it. And then he stormed off. I was like, what? And then Michonne just banging on the door like, Virgil! Virgil!
I was like, what the fuck has she gotten herself into?
Now, this is where the episode gets a little silly, okay? It gets a little sloppy around here. Maybe I missed something, but I don't know. I watched it twice. I didn't catch it. But first we get Michelle banging on the door, like a montage of her, like holding her sword, looking for a way out. Then she realizing like, okay, I just need to stay vigilant until this motherfucker open up this door. I got my sword. I'm gonna fuck him up. Right? But she wakes up and there's a tray of food on the ground. She bangs on and she realizes like someone's been in the room. Mm-hmm. It looks like whenever she woke up or whatever, she must have passed out or something, because he had like her sword was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the only thing that got a little sloppy to me, is I don't know, how did she just pass out from sleep deprivation and exhaustion?
That's what I was,
you know what I mean?
She probably was in there for a very long time, and in the process he seen she was sleeping. And I think he came in there, took a sword, and put that food down there.
Well, it's interesting because when she wakes up and yells like, "What, Virgil?" or whatever.
Ooh. Oh, go ahead.
Well, when she wakes up, you know, and yet sees the food and bangs on the door, that's when the other people on the other side of the wall start talking to her, and they're like, "Calm down." And she's like, how long I've been in here? There was like maybe a day. So I was like, damn, she passed out that much in a day?
Well, you know, initially I thought that she was in the gas chamber.
Gas chamber?
Yes.
In the lab. Okay. But I guess they just didn't show the gassing.
Mm-mm.
Or whatever. I think they should have shown that or something. Right. I don't know. It, like I said, it gets a little loose with the story right here. Right. They didn't give us the exact how and why. So we had to speculate, but it, like, I couldn't tell if she was being forced to pass out in that scene or she just passed out. But okay, anyway, she wakes up. That's when she has a conversation with the people on the side of the wall, and she's like, and she asked a very pertinent question that I had, which is, why the fuck y'all ain't been talking? And it was like, we was trying to talk to you earlier. It's like, no the fuck you wasn't. And he was like, well, when we get loud, you know, he gets angry and he get in one of his moods. And the other thing I had to think about logistically here. So how long was Virgil in the mainland, you know, at Oceanside?
He had to be there for a hot minute.
But how long? Because those people would have died. He got those people locked up in there. They only source of food, it seems. So, like, what's the rules on that? Like, because I'm thinking this episode happened in the past or something. Like, I don't know the timing of this episode, to be honest. It just doesn't, like, the timing of this is going to be interesting if they ever go back and explain it. Okay. So then there's some food. Okay.
Or my thing is, he may have went there just for the supplies, like to feed them and things like
that. He may have this feels like it could have just happened in a few days. Also the thing at the end with Judith, so it's like, oh, but it's kind of close to our current timeline, so you know, it's just interesting to think about when this happened. Anyway, so then they were like, listen, our names are Celeste, Tom, and John or whatever the fuck, and we used to work with him at the science facility, and this nigga went crazy one day. We used to take people in if they made it to the island. We like, hey, come on in, the more the merrier. But food was getting low and it was a fight over some food. Someone got killed, got stabbed, and Virgil came up later, panicked, and said, oh my god, all these strangers and shit, we need to lock everybody inside the science facility. The problem happened was that once he locked everyone in the science facility, his family was in there too. And so I guess since he was the leader or whatever, the people inside killed his family to make a point, like, let us out, we're gonna kill your family. He didn't, so they killed his family, and that was like, and it broke him, it fucked him up. He ain't been the same since. He locked us in here because he don't trust us and he won't let us out. They were like, you can go ahead and eat the food though, because it will give you strength and you're gonna need it to kill him. And she was like, okay, when I get the chance, you know, this nigga is dead.
Right.
So then Virgil shows, she eats the food, passes out, wakes up, Virgil's at the door and looking through.
I'm glad you ate.
Open the damn door.
I can't do that.
Why the hell not?
Because you'll kill me.
Why is this nigga talking like Hannibal Lecter now? You know, like, this motherfucker's
split personality here.
Hi, Clarice.
Like, no, nigga. You was just talking normal. Now you talking creepy crazy. Like, what kind of, the levels of crazy in this man? Just hopped out.
We reaped what we sow, asshole.
I don't want to fight.
You guys can hear, that's the effects of the drugs. He has drugged Michonne and it's fucking her up. It reminded me so much of a Batman story that involves a scarecrow and his fear toxin and how it fucked Batman up, and he be having visions and shit. Scarecrow don't know what the fuck the vision is, but he know the drugs give you visions and shit, and he's like sitting up there fucking with you, you know.
I want you to understand. The island has a gift. It can help you the way it helped me.
Now, you gotta remember, when he picked those flowers and herbs earlier, I wonder if that he was picking the shit there to put in her food to fuck her up.
Yes, it was some kind of
hallucinogenic. I don't know, close enough. We both close fucked enough. It up.
Them
hallucinogenic. Boom. 10 points. Hallucinogenic for 500. Alex, go ahead.
Yes. Leaves, drugs or something, you know, sleeping from the leaves that actually just, you know, makes you hallucinate.
And it sounds like he's used it before and it's giving him some type of fucking epiphany or something.
Yeah.
You know, so he's like, I just want you to use it so you can understand. But no two trips are the same, bro.
No, they're not.
Also, you're not talking in the tone of a person that's trying to help me through a bad trip. Like, you talking in the tone of somebody that's making it worse.
Right, because there's no gentleness here.
Yeah, you're not going, yeah, okay, you save you. What's going on, Michonne? Yeah, you want to make you understand. I'm like, nigga, this ain't a phone sex line. Stop talking to me like that. But meanwhile, in her head, like, we see she's having visions. And one of the visions is, like, her old self and stuff like that. Denial was acting her ass off. So we come back from commercial. That's a faucet dripping, because when you're tripping balls,
everything is amplified.
you check everything. Let me fast forward a little bit.
This is what the Dell people was wanting us about.
Say what?
This is what the Dell people was running.
Right.
Telling us
this
about.
Is why Dell's still alive. So now he's in the room while she's drugged, talking to her.
What did you?
Jimson weed.
Call me. I want you to see.
Jimson weed mixed with iced tea. So if you guys are out there trying to get stoned out of your mind,
don't do it.
Okay.
See. You don't think I see it, but I do. You're in pain, like me. You need peace. Like me.
Like you. I don't drug people and talk cells.
Yes, you've said we've had that conversation three times.
That's when I was like, what, how long has she been in here? What the fuck is this nigga doing? Like, how has he been getting, like, he been trying to break her somehow? I don't understand. Is she drinking the tea all the time? Like, is she forgetting she drank the tea? What the fuck is happening?
Who knows?
Three times.
I need you to hear me. I need you to think about my daughter
and my son. Yes, I said those words too, but listen. Everything I did was to protect my family.
I'm sure they're real proud of you now.
What about my family?
And now she's seeing visions of Sadiq.
Mm-hmm. You're no angel. Picture the sun. Let the medicine do its work.
Like, they really went, like, really artsy on this, like, almost like a one-woman play type mm-hmm. thing, you know, with Rare does write and perform.
Yeah, but just to emphasize, like, she this is kind of in her mind.
Right, and then this is, like, the guilt she feels over Sadiq and his family dying and all this stuff, too. So we get a little bit of an exchange between her and Ghost Sadiq, making her feel guilty. I also think it's a cool way to bring back that actor.
Mm-hmm.
You were supposed to protect us.
I did my best.
You let me die.
No!
And Rick.
No!
And Carl.
What happens to my family?
You are my family.
Oh, this is how it feels to be your family.
There's blood dripping on her hands, and then Sadiq turns into a zombie.
You know what? The more and more I think about it, he may have never been in the room.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. Because she's tripping balls so much.
Yeah,
I think that was the whole point for us to not know. You know? Like, what is she seeing and what is real and what's not? And then this is real cool. It's just, I'll just explain this part. It's real easy. But then the old school Michonne with the brown, you know, hood cake thing and the zombies on chains. She walks in without the zombies on chains, but she has the chain and she hands the chains to Michonne, the Michonne that's tripping balls. So I just thought that was like a real trippy sequence. And like
very
I said,
visual.
Yeah. When I first saw it, I was just like, what's happening? What's not happening? What's real? What's not real? And I think I was trying to piece it together too hard. And so I didn't really enjoy it the first time I saw it. But then the second time I was like, oh, this is kind of like her getting her chance to act, getting her mm-hmm. chance to show her full scope. And then to, also, give an artistic twist to something that we typically get straightforward every week.
Correct.
So then, after she's drugged or whatever, she gets yanked into another dream sequence where she doesn't save Andrea. I mean, I'm always here to see Andrea get eaten by a zombie, so, you know, I was down with that. But then we have another sequence where she's walking down the highway and she's passed by Daryl in a SUV type, in some type of car, mm-hmm. and it gets stuck in the mud and she's like, help, and they don't help her. Right. He looks back at her and then says, come on, let's go, and leaves her out there.
Right.
Which, you know, in this alternate imagining or whatever, this was that chance for her to end up with a good group, but that doesn't happen.
Come on, let's go.
So later, she ends up fighting some zombies in the woods. She's injured. She's cut on the side. And Negan and the saviors walk up.
Damn.
Nigga's such a dick. She swings a sword at him. He dodges it, and it hits her right in the wound with Lucille.
Because mm-hmm. he's an ass.
This chick has some cojones.
I don't want any trouble.
Well, then you probably shouldn't have taken a swing at me.
I shouldn't have missed. You know, I'm not much on saving people on the road, especially those that try to take my head off. But I gotta say, I like you and your big old massive lady nuts. Besides, it'd be a waste to have such a nice sword and no strength to eat it.
He has her sword back, and Laura throws her an apple. She joined up with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Name's Negan.
And so then we get another reimagining, and some this also allowed them, I don't know if they just used old footage or what, but it allowed them to bring back these blasts from the past. So we get Glenn and Heath.
This is what
when they did that raid on that compound, the one that had all that weed in there.
Right.
Which we never really found out anything else about the compound with all the weed. But we there in there, that's that night that Rick's crew, you know, we talked about on the show at the time, they kinda crossed the line they had never done before.
Right.
And instead of attacking out of like self defense, this group that had never attacked them, they went through stealth and snuck in at night and kill people in their beds. But in this reimagining, Glenn, who really struggled with this mission the first time they did it, like the in real time, like he didn't want to kill the people and it took him forever to just do it. But Glenn kills Laura, but this awakes Michonne out of her bed, and she wakes up and shoots him and Heath. Got that wig back. Now I will say this about the savior Michonne. She's like, fucks a bad wig, okay? Mm-mm. I walk around with the do-rag all day.
Do-rag, baby.
Okay, all black leather and do-rag.
Cause you know, Negan made sure she had plenty of grease.
Mm-hmm. Plenty of products, okay?
All the glycerin.
All the butters and oils.
She was not cheap. She probably took that off. A fro popped out.
Mm-hmm. And then, so then we get the rest of the savior shootout with them, except Michonne is the one who escapes, at the end. And then, you know, eventually this leads to, Rick and them, you know, get captured or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of, Negan being the one that ends up, you know, killing, because I think, you know, so in this reimagining, she killed Glenn and Heath, so there's no Glenn at this, like, this place where they get everybody surrounded by the RV, RV and shit, and they're like, you know,
yeah, no Glenn and no Heath because they're already out,
right? So at this time it's like Maggie's back. What's my girl that went to Sasha? Mm-hmm. Sasha's back.
Abraham back.
Abraham's back. Aaron's there.
Mm-hmm.
So like it's a completely different reimagining. And this, I have to give them so much credit for their special effects department, because you know they didn't get Andrew Lincoln from Australia to film this whole scene again. So they basically they spliced in footage of Michonne with them, and whether it works for you or not, I you know, that's not up to me, but it definitely looked like she was really there for real.
It did, and she was talking to Negan in the background and shit. Yeah, yeah,
like it looked real.
Amy, assholes. See, I was gonna do this next part myself. But see, my right-hand gal, Michonne, is on a wicked-ass tear these days, and who the hell am I to stand in her way?
Dick!
He basically asked her, do you want to do this with the bat or the sword? And she picks the bat.
You hear from us, will you?
Didn't know who they were or where they were from. You didn't know about them. But you came in the dead of night. Slaughtered them anyway in their sleep,
which is valid.
Right, this is what we talked about when this happened.
Right, we was like,
I was like, they, our crew kind of for the first time deserves something that's happening to them, because from the other perspective you could see their point. Now I'm not saying that saviors were good people, they were obviously terrible people, but they had a fucking point, you know. Just, we didn't do shit to y'all. Like, what the fuck? Y'all was living good without bothering us, you know? Now, we may have eventually made it around to your ass, right. So it's a bit of a preemptive strike, but they gotta be feeling some type of way about you killing their people in their sleep, you know? But yeah, I think also the reason this worked is because just the idea of Michonne handling Lucille and talking shit was just too good to pass up.
Yeah, and somebody brought up in the chat, which I remember, how when Negan talks to her, he always has a kinship with her, and he right. was like, we actually think we're actually more and cut from the same cloth,
mm-hmm.
more than you're willing to admit.
And also just the fact that he let her hold Lucille, he doesn't do that.
Mm-mm.
Like, nobody got to bash in somebody else with Lucille on mm-hmm. his watch.
Right.
So it meant, you know,
so
like,
she went up the ranks.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know.
Like, cow.
Now it's super ironic seeing her in the face of Rick, the man who we eventually becomes her, you know, her man, her husband, her baby daddy, right. all this shit. And, you know, it's like, wow, if she hadn't helped Andrea and they hadn't helped her, maybe this could have been Michonne's fate in life.
Right.
Chandler Riggs. Oh, rest in peace, Carl.
Yes, R.I.P., baby.
Betty Carl. Maggie. Yeah.
Remember, you did this. What happens next? It's your fault.
And there's a
welcome to the new world.
And that was like a Michonne stand-in. It was like Michonne stunt double.
Yes,
got to be on the show because they cut the like a woman that had dreads and shit that was in the crew, which is I guess a day version of their Michonne.
Right,
and she hits her with the bass. Black on black crime, y'all.
Which actually would have really made Rick snap.
Mm-hmm.
Because you literally took the love of his life away
from
him.
Remember when they had just tore off her dreads and put it on part of that zombie chain, and he went crazy. He was looking for her. That's why they got trapped. He went headlong into that trap.
Mm-hmm.
He loved him some Michonne, y'all. So then now this is the end of the Savior saga. They're running through the woods. She's trying to escape. She kills a couple of Alexandrians and then takes a crossbow to the chest. from an arrow to the chest from Daryl's crossbow.
Right. And also this shows you how important the relationship she had built with them, because she had built a relationship with Daryl, kind of softened his heart. Mm-hmm. She had built a relationship with Rick and Carl, because remember, mm-hmm. Rick was actually wilding out when they first got to Alexandria. It was like, I'm gonna take this. She had to knock his ass out. You know, the relationships that she's had with these people, this shows you that they matter.
Well, also though, just during this period of time, remember, Daryl and Rick was on some kill them all shit.
Yeah,
like they was killing motherfuckers that actually was like, hey man, if you let me go, I'll tell you where this is. They was like, okay, bam, killing you anyway.
Oh yeah, right, because that's how Aaron got his little girl. He walked in there and just was like, kill. Oh,
they was killing everybody. So, you know, she just caught that L. But the people that have seen it or whatever, you already know, but Daryl shoots her through the chest, and then Rick comes up, and then Daryl kicks her onto the ground, and then Rick comes over, and he's the one that delivers the final shot, a gunshot right to her face, and she lays on the ground. So it's like, in another world, they're not star-crossed lovers. You know, she's Michonne that got killed fucking around with the saviors.
Mm-hmm.
So then she comes back too, and she is throwing up in a bucket in the cell that she was thrown in, and Virgil standing over her, hands her some water, and trying to talk with her or whatever, and then she ends up okay, I think I do have this. Okay. I'm like, bro, what? This Jimson Wee shit is whack. Like, you couldn't have just talked to me?
Right.
I'm over here throwing my guts up. Like, come on, man. Had to be something better than this. But yeah, so she's sitting there throwing up in the bucket, and he gives us some water, and then he's trying to talk to her. And she stabs him with a fork from that food that he left, because apparently he gave her real silverware. Mistake.
Right. It was like, oh, brother, you don't know who you're talking to.
And so then he runs out. They wrestle for a bit. I think he tries to hit her with like a knife or something, but she knocks it out of his hand, and then she goes running out of the room to chase him. But I actually laughed at this part, because they can hear her leaving, and they were like, the other people in the other room.
Michonne, don't leave us, please, Michonne.
So they cut it out of this version, but they was like, Michonne, please don't leave. No, please.
Don't leave us here,
Michonne. And I was like, leave them motherfuckers. They ain't even want to answer when you talked to them that night. But she, knowing our Michonne, she actually took the time to go back and get them. Now, of course, Virgil's foot is all fucked up, so she's easy to catch. And this dude, his leg got bad luck.
Oh yeah, he's right, because I think that's a shame leg that you just sliced him up on.
Yeah, he been hobbling since we met this motherfucker. But they chase him out to the shoreline, and they see the boat. He set the boat on fire.
Right, that's why he wanted to stay overnight, because he wanted to be sure there was no way she could have escaped.
Right. Well, you know what though? Maybe. I think there's an alternate version of this where Michonne don't get up in the middle of the night and find this building and end up trapped. I think there's a version where he maybe does take her to wherever he thinks these weapons or munitions might be.
Mm-hmm.
She leaves. Like, I think he would have been perfectly happy to just keep them people captive in there or whatever. But once she went snooping,
okay,
he changed his plan, is my guess. Cause I don't think he really wanted her to find out. Cause even the way he quote unquote trapped her was real like coincidental. It wasn't like it wasn't like he set up this like, follow these breadcrumbs and I'm gonna get you.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, she finds him in the woods running. The people are following behind Michonne too.
I was gonna ask you to help me. I wanted to let them go. I wanted you to be there so they wouldn't kill me. You found them first, and I knew you were gonna kill me too. I'm sorry.
Sorry.
So basically, which I think is a lie too, I don't think that was his intentions, but this is what he got to say to cover his ass now.
Maybe, right? So this is what I noticed the second time, because the first time I was with you, I was like, this nigga's just a diabolical liar. You can't trust him, and he's a bad person. What I think is his family dying fucked him up. He'll never trust anyone again. He does lie constantly or whatever. But he also really did want to let them people out. But what he had done to them was so fucked up. If he let them out, they were going to kill him. There was no way. Because
right.
Why else feed them people? Why else right. Keep them alive? Like, fuck them then. If I'm going to let y'all starve to death. I don't care. Once I see y'all zombies, I'll leave y'all in there forever. So there's something about him where I do think, you know what it is? He's a coward. He's a fucking coward. He's Eugene. You know what I mean? Where Eugene might not be a quote unquote evil person, but being a coward is almost worse than being evil. Cause I can't depend on you for shit. You always take the coward's way out, and that's worse.
Right. That's why he ended up joining the Saviors and all that
shit.
Because like, he was like, they on the right side. They was like, Eugene, the hell is wrong with you? And yeah. He was like, well, they're gonna protect me.
You don't stand up for nothing. So
I'm on easy street.
Right.
That was Eugene.
Right. So I think that was a big part of this was, anyway, I think that's, so I do believe that he did think, well, if I'm a drug Michonne, break her down with these drugs and the understanding where I'm coming from, because whatever he did with them drugs, I also think them drugs fucked him up. Because he was like, I thought you would see what I saw in my visions. You know,
well,
and
everybody
then,
trip ain't the same.
You know,
though.
I got to see my family and I got to be with them again. I thought you would see that and you would realize that, you know, I'm a good person and that forgiveness is the way. And then because you can fight, you'll stop them from killing me so I can live. And his plan kind of works. If you think about it. Yeah, they fucked that leg up again.
She always told me the right thing to do. And then she was gone. And I didn't know what to do. And I couldn't let you leave. And I didn't want to kill you. No, Michonne.
You have as much reason to kill this asshole as we do.
I do.
Now, I won't front, y'all. I wanted her to kill him until them white people start being like, yeah, kill him for us. I was like, what the fuck? No. Who the fuck you think you talking to?
No, don't do it, Michonne.
Like, part of me, I was okay. I don't know what happened. It was like in the middle. I just flipped sides because I was like, kill this nigga. And it was like, yeah, Michonne, do it. You got as much right to kill him as we do. I'm like, first of all, white man, this is not ordering a pizza, motherfucker. I say when the killing's gonna happen. Okay,
not you.
I'm the one that can fight and got my hands around his throat. Y'all didn't do shit. I let you out of your cage.
You don't give orders.
Yeah, the fuck you talking about? Something? Yeah, do it, bitch. Like, no, the fuck. I didn't like. Let me speak to a manager. No. Get a little too fucking demanding.
Is your supervisor here, ma'am?
Right. I don't like this shit. It's like if I was gonna get some coffee out the break room, but you like, bring me a cup back too. What the fuck? Like, if you would have asked, maybe, like, can I have a cup? Like, okay, but yeah, no, do it.
Two sugars, no cream.
So she doesn't kill him, and she tells the other people, like, listen, I'm not gonna kill him because of, you can't really truly have peace until
knows.
You give somebody mercy. And my man used to say, my mercy prevails over my wrath or something like that. And so she let them live. And also because she will whoop all their ass, they couldn't do shit. And then the one woman went and knocked him out with like a stick or some shit, knocked his ass out. Okay, so the reason I think, on the first time I thought it didn't make any sense that she let him live. But two things. One, she still need the munitions and he claimed that he there. Secondly, that vision.
Yes.
The vision showed what a Michonne without mercy, a Michonne that kills even out of wrath and revenge.
Has no grace.
Yeah, you see where it ends, and that's not the lesson she learned from Carl and her time with the Alexandrians and shit. So
yeah, because I also think Carl softened her heart a lot, because she was actually going to break off on her own again, and she kept thinking about Carl and their relationship and shit like that, which actually caused her to stay.
Yeah, I really would have liked to revisit some. I'm Chandler Riggs probably done with the show, but that would have been cool to revisit some times with her and Carl, because that was I love that relationship. But yeah, back to this. So she lets him live.
Do it or move.
You see what I'm saying, y'all? Y'all feeling it too? Am I tripping? Like, I was cool till they start making commands. I'm like, nah, see, sit your white ass down, Becky. I'm the one saved you. You was over there in the cell eating drugged apples and shit until I came along. The fuck you, I decide.
Mm-mm. You don't give the orders here.
Y'all niggas had years to kill this man. Let me figure it out.
Look at him. He owes you more than he can ever make right. Taking his life. You lose more of yourself. It doesn't settle it. But your mercy gives you something. You get something. What? Peace.
And that's when they knock his ass out. Yeah, she lucky. I mean, to be honest, they lucky she not mad at them. I would have left your ass in there. Y'all niggas told me eat that bread and drink that tea and shit. Like,
I don't think they thought it was drug, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently we don't forgive mistakes on this side. So,
right.
You know, like, get the fuck out of here. Anyway, they wake this nigga up in the cell later. Well, Michonne does.
There's nothing here. I checked every building, even the ones you said had structural damage. Not a goddamn thing anywhere. I'm not going back empty-handed.
Oh, take whatever you want. Clear my debt with Oceanside. You took the risk.
Didn't have a choice. I had to find out. And there's no tea, so don't even ask. What do you see when you're tripping anyway?
Lisa with that damn camera pointing. My babies. Jasmine sitting by the fire with that book. Asking a million questions about a world she'll never know. Bobby and me lying on the roof of the annex, looking up at the stars. Heaven. I wanted, hoped that you would see that too.
You took my family from me. I saw hell.
I'm sorry.
It would have been funny if she was like, what did you see? He'd be like, rainbows and teddy bears flying over the moon. I saw a flower.
She might have killed him for real then.
Having sex with a tree. Like,
you know what? You might want to need to stay in here. We need to pad these walls.
I seen the stars coming out of my penis. Mm-mm. It was amazing, Michonne.
Glitter was everywhere.
I don't even have a family. I'm just addicted to that tea with that weed in it, girl. Mm-mm. You sure you don't want another hit?
No.
I'm gonna need some more tea.
Okay. I don't know how to do this without them.
You try, like the rest of us.
So, at this point, she needs to get her stuff out of storage because he's taking her weapons, whenever he put her in the cell and she passed out, he took all her stuff. So she's like, well, at least tell me where my stuff is. He also tells her, like, I wasn't lying. I didn't say I saw the munitions. I said I saw I knew some spots where they was at or something. Or I knew the spots where they would be or something. She was like, okay, well, take me to those spots before I leave and help me get my motherfucking weapon back too before I had to fuck you up some more.
Right.
So then she takes his hobbling ass to the room where her stuff is, and she gets her sword. She turns around and she flashes the light, and the camera pans over, and we see some dingy, dirty old cowboy boots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only one pair of boots,
right?
That smell
like that.
That smell the way I imagine these boots must have smelled.
Woo, you know they smell like corn chips.
Okay, a woman knows her man's feet smell. Okay, it's Rick's boots, y'all. And she has like a moment with the boots where she's all like, you know, like she holds them and smells like she did some acting, you know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
like these are the most precious boots in the world.
Yeah, because they probably had, like you said, his odor on them.
Yeah.
And you know, particularly if you've been with the person for a long time, they might not know it, but they have a distinct smell. And so that smell probably was nostalgia and brought, yeah, a lot of these things
and
back
she
to
thinks
memory.
He's up to this point, she probably been thinking he's dead. You know, she had to give up on that dream.
Correct.
And raise Judith, and Virgil sees this and she's like crying.
Where the hell did you...
She slammed this nigga up against the wall with the force of 10 Hulks. Now, and we, you know, Virgil can't fight.
Mm-mm.
Like, he like she was about to be like, where is my lunch money? Give it up, boy. It's my lunch today.
Get these.
So then he takes her out to a ship that has like run ashore.
It washed up. It washed up during the big storm. I don't know where the hell it came from.
She drugged this nigga into the ship with one on his one leg, chained him up to like a pole, mm-hmm. and she starts looking through the ship. he was struggling. So basically she looks through, she sees a manifest that says the ship was headed to New Jersey, or came from New Jersey as the last port it exited. She also sees a phone, and the phone has her face, like images of her and Judith sketched into it, mm-hmm. like scratched into the surface of the phone like a keepsake. And then on the top it says Rick, and then underneath that it has some either Chinese or Japanese lettering. And the translation, which I heard on either Talking Dead or saw on online, was something like, it was essentially saying don't give up hope yet, or keep hoping, or keep, you know. So you know, someone gave that to Rick, you know, and essentially it got left there. And so this of course makes her have all kinds of questions for Virgil, and Virgil is also watching this, realizing like, wait, she knows this person.
Shit, that's you and the kid.
Now Michonne, rightfully so, is putting the pieces together, and she's thinking, this motherfucker seen this picture, he knew me, he knew Judith. Somehow he went to Oceanside looking for me, and this is not a coincidence. This is some type of nefarious plan, right? You know, she's paranoid after the whispers and all this mm-hmm. stuff. Now, honestly, it's so far fetched that it's almost ridiculous,
right? Particularly the way his brain functions,
right? But this is why you don't lie to people. Since he's been lying all day, guess what happens? You get accused of lying again.
You do. You came to find us at Oceanside.
What? Why would I do that?
Because of this!
I have never seen that before in my life, I swear.
But why
Why are his things here? What was he doing here?
How the hell would I know?
You knew that this boat was here this whole time!
The world ended. Boats wash up. What do you want me to say?
Slammed him up against the wall again, man. Bruh, first of all, when you're talking to a black woman that's upset like this, you need to take a little of that bass out your voice.
All the bass out your voice.
He was really like, it's my cousin, bitch, damn. Like, nope, that's not the tone you want to take
wrong answer.
I can feel the ass whooping coming, so you might want to take it down a couple of notches, you know, and puff your chest out a little less. And hey, I know you're going through some things right now. I promise you, I'm not lying, but nope. He's like, what you want me to do? Boats wash up. I said, well, now you got to get beat up again. Stupid.
You knew that there were no munitions. Were you setting up a trap for us? Did you lay a trap for him? What did you do? What did you do to him?
Who are you talking about?
Now, see, he got it right that time. But it shouldn't take me having to jack your ass up every time for you to get to the point where you learn how to have some conflict de-escalation skills.
That should have been the first thing. Who are you talking about, ma'am? I have no idea. But he started feeling his britches, as they say.
You know you only got one. Okay, you want this leg to heal? Well, he almost got killed.
Several times this episode.
He ain't even know. See, this is when I start having a little mercy on him. I said, this dude a fool. He an idiot.
Yeah, he didn't know.
He really is a dumbass. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that he should be alive in this epoch. I don't know how he's still alive. He should clearly be dead at this point. But this nigga is stupid. I know his wife had a lot of work cut out for her.
What it is you think I have? Or who you looking for? Maybe it wasn't the night we met. If the others will help me, I think we can mod the engine and get it working again. This person was on this boat. And maybe you can find them again.
That's the smartest thing he said. Not because it helps Michonne, but because it keeps her off of your ass. Okay? You should have been coming up with ideas to keep her further from you.
Right.
You can't fight. You done lied to the woman 27 times. It ain't no fucking munitions on the island. It's time to come clean. It's time to get her off the island with you. The last place you want to be is on the island with Michonne, because she will end up having to kill you. You done burned a boat, like...
Come on!
The patience of Job, the only thing that saved you, man. Michonne must be a good God-fearing woman, because he deserved death. I think the writing said believe a little longer or something like that. Anyway, so then Michonne gets on the boat, but before they hopping on the boat, the people are coming with her, and she's like, you can come too, Virgil. And he was like, I'm gonna stay on the island. I don't think they're gonna give me another chance. And she was like, it'll take time, but they'll give you a chance. And I was like, Michonne would know. Glenn, Eugene, like, second chances do happen in the Z-Pac, but he rightfully and smartly says, I'm gonna stay on the island. You know, I promised the flowers every day. So he gonna stay on the island, get high for all the Jimson weed he can drink.
He just died there because nobody else is probably even alive on the island.
He gonna die of a Jimson weed overdose, hanging out at those graves. So like, that's the last we're gonna see of Virgil, it seems. But he stays on the island, the other people go with him, and then later Michonne gives Judith a call. Also, if you played the Walking Dead video game, the Michonne, so Walking Dead had a Telltale Games, and they had a Michonne version, and it reminded me of Michonne on the boat in the game, because she was on the on a boat in the game. Let's get to this call though. So she's looking at the iPhone with the etching on it and just crying. And at some point, she gives Judith a ring. Let me see. This is so cute.
Choto, are you there? It's Daito.
They call themselves, I think it's Soto and Daito, which is two different types of Japanese swords. And they're different sizes. So I just thought that's cute.
Choto? Are you out there? Anyone?
I'm here, Daito.
We've been trying you.
I'm sorry. I'm here now.
Are you still with Virgil?
No, but I found three people on the island and I'm helping them get back home.
I've missed you and your brother so much.
Mama.
Now you.
Call signs for safety.
Daito.
Hey, baby. And who are you?
I'm Lil Baby.
Oh. I love Little Brave Man. How long have you been with your sister, Little Brave Man?
Tia Rosita brought me.
Judith?
How are Tia Rosita and Coco doing?
Okay, I guess. Better.
How's home? Anything with the Whispers?
We got him, Mom.
We got most of the work.
Alpha can't hurt us anymore.
You're doing it again. Always make that sound when you're worried.
Do not.
Do do.
Now, so... have we skipped forward in time, and is this when this call is happening, or... is Judith lying to make Michonne feel more ease? What do you think?
I think that they know that she's dead.
So you think she's telling the truth?
Mm-hmm.
Alpha's dead. They've destroyed most of the whore and they are safe.
For now, yes.
Okay. All right, cool. Because I couldn't tell because Judith's so fucking smart and grown. I wouldn't have put it past her to be like, let me just say this to my mom to ease her fears.
You know what? And particularly after I heard that conversation with Earl, I could see that.
Yeah, so I didn't know.
I found something.
Not what I was looking for on the island, but something else. Something that
could be really important to all of us.
What do you mean?
I found something that belonged to the brave man.
And a place that he might have been recently.
I don't know what any of it means yet, or if it means anything at all.
Mom. Is he alive?
Right there, she broke code. She didn't say the code name Daito or anything. She just said Mom. I was like, look at this little baby acting.
Oh, she's been acting her ass off ever since she's been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, baby, is what I'm saying.
I don't know.
But if you think he's alive, then you have to go find him.
No. No, not now.
You and your brother need me. And everything going on in Alexandria.
Mom. You have to go. You have to. We're okay. What if he needs you more? What if he's trying to come home too, but no one will help?
If I go...
When you go, and when you find him.
Okay. When I go, and find the brave man.
We're at the coast. I have to go.
Listen to Uncle Daryl. I know.
Oh my god. So
baby, put that glory tear out.
Didn't she? Like, that girl was acting. Yeah. Shout out to her. She acted that shit down. Yeah,
and she know her mama. And they are literally two peas in the pod. And she knows this hurts her mama not to be with them, but she also understands that if she comes back, it will hurt her more not to be out there looking for him versus trying to protect them. When she's like, hey, I got this now, you know, from her perspective.
Now, the one thing I will say, I knew that this would be Danai Gurira's exit from the show because all this stuff had leaked. We also knew that she's gonna be involved in movies with Andrew Lincoln, who plays Rick, because they're still planning on doing those like Rick Grimes movies. But part of me felt like the way they've written Michonne, I can't imagine a scenario where she leaves Judith for any fucking reason. Judith and RJ, there would never be a way for her to exit the show and for those kids to stay. But after that scene, I honestly was like, oh yeah. Yeah. She's going to go get their daddy.
As far as and, she's concerned, right.
And now you can't go back to those babies without that man. You like, you definitely can't go back and be like, I just didn't feel like trying. I needed to take care of y'all. This is the woman that went out there every day to that river for like 6 fucking years. So it didn't make sense to, after this scene, it flipped out all my thinking in my head from, it don't make sense to not go. You know, plus we know Judith can handle herself and she's surrounded by people that's taking care of her. And then she also told them the threat was, you know, Alpha and the Horde is taken care of for now.
We'll see if she's telling the truth at a later time. And also the way that this is going, they can literally, even if it's for an episode or two, they can literally come back. Like they made it where, you know, Judith might be a teenager because, you know, they could do time jumps.
And Rick could be like a, well, I hope they don't do that too much because, honestly, I hope they keep Judith this age. But yes. I think the Rick movies might cover the past and be like what he's been up to for 6 years. Mm-hmm. Rick could be like a prisoner somewhere. Rick could be trapped. Like Rick. So when she said, what if he needs your help? Like, because that's the thing you got to be thinking. If Rick ain't made it back and he's alive, maybe he the one that needs some help. You know, I can see if he's a black man and you just assume he left his children. But since he's since he's a pure Aryan white man, it's make no sense for this man not to want to come home. I mean,
they took his boots. Y'all know he never takes some boots off his feet.
I mean, I can see them damn chaps is getting on his nerves when he left. If he would have said, I'm going down to the bridge to save us from some zombies and also I'm going to get a pack of cigarettes. Now, then I would have said that man left his children. But, you know, we saw what happened to Rick. So, you know, I hope he's alive and we need to know why the fuck he ain't been home. What if she just find him, save him, kill all these people and then be like, love should have brought your ass home last night?
I don't think that's how it's gonna go. Okay. And I forgot she went to junk. He went to Junkyard Lady. I bet you they got separated.
I don't know. That's the thing I want to see.
That's true.
Because, I mean, it's been 6 years. So something had to happen to keep him from going. He was moving heaven and earth to get back to his kids.
Come on.
Like, does he have amnesia now? Like,
what
the fuck could have happened? All right. Let's get to y'all's feedback. Amon writes in, the tale of Virgil, the sorriest nigga in the Z-Pac. Amy, did y'all ever think we'd see a day when Gabe, the introduction of Gabe, wasn't the sorriest nigga in the Z-Pac?
Right?
Even Everybody Hates Chris. Did better than him.
He did.
Like, this dude was the worst. Hey y'all, last episode the Negan Carol thing shocked me. Now I'm shooketh by this Michonne episode. Oh my god, I was so damn tense. Virgil has been having black women do his emotional and mental labor his whole damn life and failing them. Ugh. Wasting our girl's time, burning her boat, drugging her. Then she still gave him her ear to listen to his sorry ass story. I can't. I'm so glad he didn't get on that boat, even though I didn't see seasons 1-8. I got the gist that it was an alternate reality Michonne that was really cool how they put her in the bat scene. Seemed like a fitting send-off. I was looking forward to her coming back to the group, guns a-blazing, but this is a pretty nice goodbye, too. Yeah, man, I'm so glad he didn't hop on that boat, because he would have probably ran some more game. Hey, I think I'll go to New Jersey with you too. You know, my wife is in New Jersey.
Got them killed.
My wife and my kids up there with Rick. What? You just told me your wife and kids
were dead.
Didn't we just bury your hanged wife and kids? One last thing. I see that it works to let the character go. For Judith, not to tell her that the hilltop burned down, but where do you even begin looking for one man in his epoch because you found his boots in a drawing? That's crazy to me. And to leave your babies over this man? I guess I don't love my husband that much, because no way would I leave my daughter to go on a quest to find him. I guess that's regular love and Rick Grimes. There's regular love and Rick Grimes love. Next episode looks awesome too. Love you guys, Mine. Well, Mine, let's think about this. I'm not trying to hate on your children, but are any of them capable, like, in the way that Judith is capable? Like,
most children does not have that capability.
Are your kids killing grown ass people in chilly cold blood or nah?
Cause, come on.
You know, I feel like once you kill Zombie Earl and that one whisperer, I feel like it's a different level of kids.
Is your kids catching bodies?
Yeah, that's not the same kids you just left this morning that was eating Scooby snacks at the cereal
and fruit roll ups
and watching TV, Cartoon Network. These ain't the same kind of kids.
Eating Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Yeah, so I think Judith is capable. Secondly, I mean, it's not about it being Rick that I'm talking about. It's about it being Michonne. Michonne gonna find that man. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it was me, I mean, I might have a hard time. I can't even fucking get downtown without fucking, you know, the map quest telling me which way to go and shit. I need Google Maps to be like, take a left on West Boulevard. Michonne can find that man.
Oh yeah, we skipped the part.
What?
It's several things. Not several things, but two things. One, at the end, they had docked on the land, and so she was actually on the land walking and ended up finding two people, ended up walking up.
Oh yeah, you're right, I forgot about that. Yeah, it was so small, I don't know how I forgot this, but it's the biggest part of the episode. It's one of the reasons, it's actually the reason I came around on this episode and I love it now, is at the very end, she's got two zombies tied up to rope, she's got her like old school Michonne vibe back, and she's walking like towards New Jersey. And she sees some people that need help in the woods. One of them's limping really bad, and a woman is helping them. It's a black man and a white woman. And at first I was hoping it would be Heath, but
she still might cross him.
Heath might be with Rick,
you never know.
So then they're like, can you help us please, we they're gonna leave us. And so she comes over and she's like, sees them, and they're like, please, you gotta help us. And she looks over a ridge down into a valley, and there is a caravan of more people than we have ever seen in the Z-Pop.
I don't think she initially seen those people.
She didn't.
No.
So she looked down and like, she like, who is they? Who's leaving? And when she seen that many fucking people, it was obvious, like, okay, this is some new shit.
Yeah, she was like, they was like, they won't wait.
We've seen her as a zombies. We've never seen her that many people.
Right. And she was actually walking with the zombies. She turned around and killed the zombies, which actually scared the
other
two people.
And then she put her hand out and said, you know, come
let's
on.
Let's go.
And she's going to help them. So that was the end. I'm sorry. I forgot that.
Oh, no problem. And then as they're walking, if I remember right, they actually did the scene when Michonne walked up to the prison.
Yes,
at the like one of the last
they juxtaposed it with when Michonne needed help, she was sitting outside the prison bleeding after Andrea had betrayed her, and Carl and the governor had tried to kill her, and Carl was saying to his daddy Rick, like, you know, she needs our help. And Rick was like, what's your name? And this was back when Michonne wouldn't even tell them her name. She wouldn't talk to them. They had to put her in a cell when she wouldn't let them heal her. Like, she had been through so much shit. And I think that was, you know, okay, cool. You know what? Because they helped me, I'm a person who helps other people.
Right. And I think that relationship with Rick and her, seeing that alternate life that she would have had, I think it's very important to her to do those things, show grace, show mercy, show compassion and understanding.
Yeah, so yeah, I forgot about that part. That's the most important part of the fucking show, because that's what made me like it. Because I was like, oh, this is actually a hopeful ending. It it makes me feel like Michonne's gonna, one, civilization can happen, and Michonne's gonna go find this, her man, you know, and she still help people.
Yeah, and who knows, and who's in that group? Maggie might be in that group. Who the fuck knows who's down there?
Yep, so, you know, yeah, maybe Maggie, Heath, all the people that's not dead, that's missing.
Right.
So Beth writes in, hi Morrows, hope you and your loved ones are corona free, and thank you for the amazing podcast. I'll make this quick. I love the episode, but I'm confused as to why Michonne would leave RJ, especially after the way she lost her first son and turned her partner and friend into her pets to punish them for their negligence. Wouldn't she want to say goodbye to RJ too? I'm also really confused as to why such an empowered woman would prioritize her missing man over her community. Doesn't it feel like the Lost finale, where it wasn't about the island or the strange things on the island, but it was about love and soulmates? I mean, we kind of explained our point of view on it, but the other thing I would throw out there too, that for me that worked, that is the fact that in real life the actress wants to move on from the show.
Right.
So the only other option in a situation like this is to either take the kids off of the show. So now those actor and that actress no longer get to be on the show.
Correct.
Which would fucking suck. Judah's such a cool character.
Right.
And or you kill her. Cause it's the only other options you really have. You know what I mean? Maybe imprison her and have her, you know, caught. And then we'd be like, will someone really be able to capture Michonne? She's such a badass. So, I don't know. I feel like of the options and the ways to lead the show, this is one of the few ways you can leave it on a hopeful note.
Yeah, and also, I guess for me, I personally think that she knows that they'll be fine, if that makes sense. Like it's not like she's leaving them in the hands of strangers, or she's like she's leaving them in the hand people not capable of taking care of them. It's like Judith confirmed, "Mama, we good." Like, and I think the biggest reason why she even decided was because Judith pushed her. You know, that can't be ignored. Judith was like, yeah, go get my daddy. Yeah, go get my daddy.
Also, like, I don't know if people remember, but when we started this season, she was going out to the river still to check on Rick. Like, she was like she's not over. She never really believed he's dead.
No.
She just stopped going out there, but she never really took it in as like Rick is dead. She loves that man and thinks he's alive, and you know, I think on a priority level she would be like, my kids are safe.
Yes.
If we're gonna make this logic, it's the same logic for why she went to get the munitions.
Mm-hmm.
She said, I'll take the short chance. I'm not gonna let Judith take this chance with me.
Right. And I'm Judith wanted to go. Judith right. Was like, all right, mama, let's ride. She was like, baby, you can't go with me.
And she was also like, and I'm not going to go and involve my child, but I'm also, you know, not going to just not go.
Right.
So I think she feels getting Rick back is better for her, not just her community, but her family. I think she's like, getting the father of my children back is fucking important to me, because I don't think he's dead.
Right, because the thing is, the whole time she was there, one reason why she got irritated with him was because she was like, look, I gotta get back to my kids. That was her whole thing. Her whole thing was, I gotta get back to my kids. I gotta get back to my kids.
Well, that's actually more to what Beth's saying. That's what Beth's saying. It's like, well, if she wanna get back to her kids so bad, she would even be like, well, fuck Rick, I need to get back to my kids.
I think that was her mind frame until she seen those boots and all that other shit.
Yeah.
And then there was a shift in the change. I still think that she was going to come back. I think the breaking point was Judith pushing her.
Right. I think she was going to come back even with all that shit. But once she told her daughter, essentially, I think your dad could be alive, but I'm not sure. Her daughter's like, be fucking sure. That's my daddy. Like, please. Like, it's okay. You know, and I think we, you know, because we believe in the capabilities of Michonne, we're not sitting around thinking like, she gonna go up there and die. We're thinking like, she gonna go up there and get it done, because she's Michonne. Same way I feel about Carol, I feel about Michonne. If she put her mind to some shit, it's happening.
Yes, sir.
Also, if Rick was that close to Oceanside, why didn't he just go there? So silly. I don't know. Could be in prison, could be injured, could have amnesia. I mean, don't you want to know? Don't get me wrong, I love this episode and I would risk it all for Rick.
Nigga.
I was just surprised they went this way. I love Michonne and Virgil together. Love how crazy Virgil was. I was screaming, really, Virgil? And Acid Trip? Love the alternative story where Michonne worked for Negan and look forward to the Rashawn spinoff. It's the end of one of my favorite characters and one of my favorite love stories. We were so lucky Danai existed and was hired to play this role. I can't imagine anyone else in it. Thank you, Danai. Stay safe and beautiful, Beth.
I agree. I loved her in this role, and they did this role differently than they did in the comics.
We also don't know when he was on that boat. We don't know if, like,
how long he was on the boat.
What if he was on that boat, they stole his shit,
and
he's somewhere in New Jersey? You know, like, he might not be in New Jersey,
he might be on another continent,
he could be any fucking where. Like, she just going to find out. You know, I can understand, like I said, the reasoning from both sides. Mm-hmm. and the thing I always think about with this show and pretty much every show I watch, when they take leaps of, like, imagination, they say, listen, we want you to suspend realism for a little bit for the sake of this story, right? Even the fact that she went on that boat and found that room and found his shit, even that is such a leap of faith, right? What would be a better story? The story where she goes, I'm not gonna go, and she comes back home to RJ and them, and then what they have to kill her or something because we know the actress is leaving, or they switch out actors or something? Like, what's the better story at this point? You know, because I think the better story is to continue to see where that romance goes, to continue with action and having those characters still around and be on the show and do those movies.
And I think this also gives people something that a lot of people who, some of them had left, complained about, was hope. Like, this actually give people hope that, hey, she's going out to look for Rick, and possibility, high probability, that she will find him, or at least before she find him, find other people that she's had relationships with in the past. Like, it's just gonna be, it's almost like they're branching off into another journey.
Yeah. Someone said I'm still on the mini screen, but I'm not sharing my screen anymore. We're still minimized on your page, Karen?
Ooh, we're big on mine.
Okay. All right. Is anyone else having that issue? Okay. All right. Cool. So just Kim Doc is having that issue.
Refresh, baby.
So. Wait, so is everyone having an issue or not? Okay. All right, well, some people having it, some ain't. All right, well, okay. I guess, well, this is weird as fuck. Some people, I don't know.
Yeah, some people.
Maybe y'all should not refresh. I'm not refreshing. Y'all refresh. I think it's y'all. So some of y'all got Verizon and some of y'all got Sprint. Okay, I see. I see. Okay, let's figure this out real quick.
Some of y'all got AT&T.
Who got the new iPhones? Okay.
Who got the new Google phone?
All right. Miss Smart says she refreshing and it's still small. All right, I'll refresh. I'll refresh on my side. Give me a second, everyone. Man, that is super weird. Alright, so Miss Barnes writes in, I love this episode of The Walking Dead. Just when I think there's no more story that can be told, Angela keeps tap dancing on our necks. It was hopeful, beautiful, and a perfect send off for Danai. Yeah, I really dug the hope. The Michonne alternate universe was fantastic storytelling. How fitting that she would just keep it moving from Andrea, be Negan's right hand woman, taking out Glenn and them, and then finally get a Daryl arrow and a Rick taking her out. She is now on the mission to find her Rick, and Lord, I hope that she will find him. Also, shout out to the Sadiq Visions and King Batch cameo. Thank you for the recap. Thank you for listening. And yeah, it's just so interesting that the Michonne alternate universe version of the darkest Michonne or whatever was still kind of like, I still kind of liked her. I still understood her reason. She didn't just become like a completely evil caricature. She was like still defending herself. She still had integrity. She killed Rick and them she bashed in fake Michonne's head for a reason, you know?
I think the core of her character didn't change. It's just like, what would happen if the dominoes fell a different path?
Yeah, I like that. Ken writes in, Rod and Karen, I was looking forward to this episode, but it was a bit disappointed with the tripping angle. because I've never really been into that. Regardless, I do appreciate this episode stuck with the who you meet first makes you who you are in this epoch. Even beyond the tripping, Virgil plays Michonne in a way that I would not have thought she could be played. Michonne enters the room first on many occasions and gives Virgil way too many chances to redeem himself, but there are some questions that need to be answered. Well, you know what? To me, that was also Michonne's confidence of knowing she could kick his ass at any point.
Mm-hmm.
And that was she got played. That's what Eugene gets by on, like, that thing where people are like, I can whoop your ass if push comes to shove, and, you know, with cowards, that, you know, they know that too.
Oh, like a Mortis daddy. He does that.
Jerry.
Shit. Yes.
One, Michonne is in prison with group two. Where are the other groups that we see painted on the board?
It was five different groups.
Yeah, it was five different groups, but, they may be those. I think you saw them. You know, they were called zombies.
Hanging from the ceiling.
No, that was his family. I'm saying them zombies that she killed, them was them groups.
That like
them,
make sense. Yeah,
them
yeah.
Used to be people.
Yeah, like it spread it on the island and there was nowhere to go.
Two, what group is it that she meets up with at the end? I don't know, man. I don't know. That could be a completely new group. You know, this show, man, they so good at that.
Yeah, making me think about
it. It's not from the comics. It's not from the comics, that group.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm not saying it can't be one of the groups from the comic, but that caravan is not a characteristic of anything from the comics.
It's not.
Y'all stay safe out here in these coronavirus streets. Love the podcast swag.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Let's see. I think we got two more. Kim Dot writes in, Virgil the scammer, ain't he? Hey, y'all. I'm happy that Danai can spread her wings and fly away to the roles that she longed for. Walking Dead has been amazing with her in all facets. Wanted to snuff that nigga Virgil 525,600 times. Michonne hemmed him up in every way, in every room, and against every tree. It seemed her patience was supreme. Listen, that's a lot of men pay good money to have Danai Gurira straddle them and slam them up against things. Okay. Seeing her with Negan as his right hand was terrifying. Honestly, I think it's far-fetched that Rick and them win if Michonne is on the other side, but hand wave, whatever and shit. Yeah. I mean, they still would have the plot armor, so they'd be okay. And Sadiq was dropping harsh bombs on her. That was definitely her bestie over the years. Yeah, what if they would have took it to the next level, and instead of Michonne getting killed, Negan gets killed, but then Michonne is the one that gets thrown in the cell in Alexandria. Like, they took it all the way that far. That would be crazy.
Yeah, you know, and it would not be surprising if her and Negan had a intimate relationship, like a really tight and close relationship.
Oh, you mean sexually?
Yes.
No way. It would never happen. This nigga got too many, he got a harem full of women. Michonne would be like Paula and them other women that was in the gang, but they don't fuck nobody
because they made their way up. They should be like, I'm not doing that shit.
Yeah, she like, nigga, I earned my way. I'm not fucking you. And you got 12 wives. I don't know where your dick been. I'm here for the movies and the reunion. Can't wait. Judith telling her to go in definitive fashion was awesome. Shows gotta end with a whole reunion of Rick, Michonne, and their kids in a perfect world. That's well earned. Love and light, Kim Doc. That would be a dope fitting ending. If they write themselves to a point where we get Rick, Michonne, RJ, and Judith together, and that's just the last shot that we see, I'd be okay with that.
Me too.
You know, like, I know people think that we need a cure for the Z-Pocket shit. I don't think you do. Mm-mm. All right, last one. 2D Taurus writes in, hey Rod and Karen, have you heard the Walking Dead season finale episode 16 is being delayed due to the post-production not being completed? The effects team is not working due to COVID-19 and / stay at home. Episode 15 will be the season finale. Episode 16 will air as a special later in the year. See attached screenshots. I did not know this.
Mm-mm,
Walking Dead Twitter account. Current events have unfortunately made it impossible to complete post-production of the Walking Dead season 10 finale. So the current season will end with season 15th episode on April 5th. So on April 5th. Oh wait, nah, that's about right. Yeah, because we at 13, so 14 and then 15. And the planned finale will appear as a special episode later in the year.
Damn you, Rona.
Yeah, man. Well, you know what?
The game for everybody. CW shows, everything is out of whack.
Wash your hands. Don't touch your face until, you know, we get this finale in, because we gotta
come on.
Gotta be here for that, man. So
come on,
that sucks.
Right, right. And they're saying that they've done studies that states that shut it down, like California and New York. They was like, the cases are going down. They was like, places it was like,
it's the only way to break the chain.
Yeah, cases just like, oh, do what you want to. They go, the cases are going up.
Yeah, it's the only way to break the chain, unfortunately, you know. Anyway, I'm not doing the Rona thing today. Mm-mm. What are you looking forward to next week?
Ooh, what's happening in Alexandria, and if Judith was telling the truth, and how Beta's gonna respond once he finds out Alpha's dead.
Yeah, my number one thing is Beta, once he finds out what they did to Alpha, because in the preview they look like they left her head on a spike at the border. And I think that's why I don't think Judith is lying. I think they think the shit is over, and the shit can't possibly be fucking over. Like that, like no way, you know.
Do you think that I mean, of course some people still gonna say fuck Negan, but do you think their attitude towards Negan gonna be different when they find out he killed her?
No, well that's the thing, I don't know, like, because Aaron, we have to reconcile this shit with Aaron. I can see them still giving him the cold shoulder. I mean, he did kill their friends, like, you know, I can see a lot going on. So I'm just looking forward to that next week, because I think that'll be a fun place to start. Bummed out not about the episode 16 thing, but hopefully they get back sooner than later.
Yeah, and I understand.
Yep. So we just want them to be safe. So
ain't that the truth, to be able to do it.
I don't want nobody, you know, down set fucking with that COVID, man. Mm-mm. Shit is out here getting people right
yes,
now.
Yes, sir.
All right, y'all. Until next time. This was so fun. You know,
yes.
Like every week, you know, it's kind of built in decompression from all that news that we cover, and just being able to talk about this show, especially at this point and the way we talk about it, it's really like a release. I wish everybody could have stayed into it and still had fun, but I understand some people just couldn't take any shortcomings of the show and all that stuff. So in a low-key way, man, I'm kind of glad they gone, because they were yucking my yum.
Right.
And now that it's all just yum, week. Now that it's just yum yum yum, like, I love these reviews. I love mm-hmm. all this stuff, and thank
so
you
much fun.
I love watching it with you, Karen, and I love Yay. Recapping it. So
thank you.
All right, y'all, we'll talk to y'all later. Thank you so much for listening. Until Saturday, we'll do our feedback show. This Too Much, we haven't planned when we're doing the finale yet. Me and Bossy will get together and let people know. And I'm sure Balls D Sports, it'd be probably tomorrow night. So until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.